Hi, I'm Adam, and my stop-motion project will focus on how gendered advertisements contribute to the perpetuation of present-day post-feminist attitudes. To go a little more in-depth on what post-feminist attitudes look like, I will draw on Angela McRobbie's article, Post-Feminism in Popular Culture. Additionally, I have chosen a few articles touching on how these attitudes can be observed in places outside of North America. Post-feminism is defined by Angela McRobbie as the active process by which feminist gains of the 1970s and 80s come to be undermined. She argues that it invokes feminism as being taken into account but not needed anymore due to the equality already achieved by those feminist gains. In a 2004 article written by Riker and Carpenter, the researchers found that sexualized images of women were more explicit in 2003 than they were in 1983, whereas images of men have remained relatively the same since. In her article, McRobbie makes reference to this European automobile advertisement featuring very famous and highly paid supermodel Claudia Schiffer. As you can see, the video portrays Claudia performing some consensual acts that are being used to attract the viewer into consuming the advertised product. In this case, a bright yellow sedan made by one of the world's oldest and most profitable automakers. McRobbie claims that the makers of this advertisement take into consideration the striptease as a site of female exploitation, but ultimately dismissed it as belonging to the past, to a time when feminists used to object to such imagery. The topic of consent is very important to the progression of post-feminist attitudes put forth by the messages in this ad. To summarize the quote shown, because Claudia, an individual known as one of the highest paid supermodels in the world, is consensually taking place in this advertisement, the messages conveyed are automatically not exploitative. I found this next advertisement thanks to the incredibly disgusting minds over at Guinness. While watching, try to identify some of the parallels between this commercial and the one we just watched. First off, how fucking awful was that? Share one with a friend? The quote is meant to have a double meaning. Both the beer and the woman shown in the video are being portrayed as shared by the men involved. Now, in the Guinness ad, we aren't shown explicitly that this act is consensual, but the fact that the woman isn't showing any signs of disapproval of the absurdity taking place is supposed to make the viewer automatically assume it to be consensual. Aside from objectifying women to a horrible degree, this advertisement is showing a situation where satisfying the male in sexual heterosexual intercourse is more important than satisfying the female. Now I'll proceed to introduce two articles from different parts of the world examining how gendered advertising has reinforced post-feminism. A 1997 study out of Australia describes gendered advertising, or what the researcher terms advertising sexism, as a concern because it is felt to limit women's aspirations, achievement, self-esteem, and equity in compensation. It was also reported that one-third of the ads most complained about to the Australian Advertising Standard Council were reports of sexism. An article describing gendered advertisements in Japan also shed light on structural and systemic ways in which post-feminist attitudes have been reinforced. One advertisement was described as follows. Middle-aged worker bees give the audience an impression of the working man's robustness and strongness. There are many advertisements showing that their working men have those traits. In advertisements, men go to the office no matter how sick they are. They are shown taking medicine or drinking nutritious drinks. They do not go home after work. Instead, they have an alcoholic session with their colleagues or attend receptions. Women rarely appear in these advertisements because women working outside the home is treated as a matter, or because working outside the home is treated as a matter only for men. Furthermore, a 2008 article published by Brooke touches on some of the key insights put forth by Goffman in 1979. She writes that, almost 30 years ago, Goffman problematized that in ads, women were more likely to be touching products or themselves shown lying down, indicating sexual availability and deference to ales, and removed psychologically from the reader. Yet contemporary ads still restrict women spatially to the home, portray women as dependent on men, limit women's occupational roles, and depict women as sex objects. Now, after having watched and listened to my video this far, I hope to have convinced you that post-feminist attitudes are unfortunately thriving in today's society, especially on television. I'm not just talking commercials. Sports channels, political media outlets, and a boatload of other things are also to blame. But if for any reason you are not convinced, this final clip should do the trick.